National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History 2. My name is Bernice Herzog. My respondent's name is Lillian Goldstein. This is Tuesday, May 9th in the year 2000. Lillian, in retrospect now, is there anything that you would have done differently than what you did?
You know, since I lost my brother Henry, my life has changed so completely. I have lost everything that I had, so I feel it sounds like a harsh statement to make. But up until that happened, I was well, doing things that I wanted to do and that I loved to do, and all of a sudden I was snatched off my feet into a different world entirely. Well, he passed on, and the Lord left me remain.
Well, what would you have done differently in retrospect now as compared to what you did something in 20, 30 years ago? In retrospect, would you have done anything differently than what you did, or do you think that that was the way to do whatever it was?
Yes, I do think that was it, because I have no qualms that I should have done this or should have done that. I did then what came naturally. I didn't know that I was considered doing so much. I just did it, and the energy was there to do it until my tragedy. Of course, I've had other tragedies too. But Henry and I lived together for 88 years, not in the same house, but in the same, yes, and not in the one house for 88 years, but we moved on to Max and Towers for 31 years, and they were delightful moments. And after Gene died, he was so attentive that those 7 years, he helped to fill the loss, because Gene and I had the same vacations all the time, and we were really a twosome. In fact, people called us twins because they saw so much of us together. But he took over, and he made me his queen, really. And I'm not much of a cook, but when I would serve his breakfast, which was just cornflakes and eggs, and he would think he had a breakfast, he had a banquet, because I made it for him. So, I don't know if anything would have been different. That was my natural way to do things, and it was just done. And since then, I haven't given thought to anything. I just lost the willpower that I had.
Yeah.
And he encouraged me so much. I mean, when I'd write my articles for the Jewish Community Center each month, I would give it to him to read over. And he said, wonderful, he was always complimenting me.
Well, Lillian, you're going to get your second breath now, and you're going to continue on, I hope, to do all the things and or many of the things that you did before. So keep that in mind.
Well, thank you for those good wishes.
Is there something in your life that you wished you had changed? Could have changed. Is there anything in your life you wish you could have changed?
Seriously, I was the youngest of 6 children, and for a long time I wore hand-me-down clothes, you know, and I was to be seen and not heard, and as a result, I was just an obedient child. And I can't say that
I didn't want to change that.
No, I like that. And, of course, they had good taste and never asked my opinion about buying furniture or how to paint the house or what curtains to get. Because we were taught, as most children were, I hope, to obey your elders, and the older people knew what they were doing. So I very willingly left it up to them because I knew the judgment was there.
Therefore, you wouldn't have changed.
I wouldn't have changed, you know, because I had no experience and I was the youngest, so I knew what they were doing was helpful for me. It was good enough for me, yes.
That's good. In Squirrel Hill, it is noted that people settle in ethnic groups, perhaps, and even in apartment houses, because if somebody comes from Germany, their relatives from Germany would come there also. And can you recall what ethnic group you might have?
Well, of course, our first move was a section of the city called Penn Avenue. So I never even knew what the Hill District, people talk about the Hill District, and I was never there. My parents came from Lithuania, and there must have been a group of them that settled in this neighborhood. I think this neighborhood was called Lawrenceville, although it was a little distance away from Lawrenceville. It was Penn Avenue, and one block was all the Jewish people as merchants. And across from us was another named Goldstein. He sold wallpaper. And next door was Applestein's, and they had a men's department store. So everybody on the block was a Jewish merchant, and they thrived there. Evidently it was good, because they had no money when they came over, I'm sure, and they were able to send the children to college. So I guess we earned a livelihood on Penn Avenue there.
Good. How do you view Pittsburgh Jewish life in the general community now? How do you think it is? It's good? Is there anti-Semitism that you note? Or just what is your feeling about Pittsburgh Jewish life today?
Well, I have not witnessed anything personally that I would say was anti-Semitic. I read articles about people who write in who do send to the periodicals of instances they've had, but I can't say that I have. I was voted president of the Pittsburgh Teachers Association when I taught, and
the
never encountered anything, but I won the vote, and can't say that I have really got, and right now I had a very interesting experience with a black lady that I taught when she was 8 years old, and now she is 65, and she joined a literature class because she loves to write poetry, and they had to write on their favorite teacher, and she wrote, "Miss Lillian Goldstein is and was my favorite teacher." And she went on to say beautiful things about me, that Albert Goldsmith, who was the teacher of that class, said, "She's still living because everybody that read their essay, their teachers were dead." And Albert said, "I know her. She's living." Well, Juanita Moore was the girl who wrote the essay. She couldn't believe it. So Albert said, "I'll call her up and have her visit this class next Monday at noon." Yeah. Next Monday at noon, I was there. She had a photographer and a videotape ready to take pictures of me. Well, I was flabbergasted because I haven't seen, and I have to be truthful with you, that I wouldn't know Juanita Moore from anybody on the street.
No, but the Pittsburgh Jewish life is pretty good, would you say?
Oh, and she's called me more than my work friends have. Now that she knows my number and I moved around and she's able to find me. She's a lovely lady. And there's another fellow named Charles, what's his last name? The third. He heard that I was living. He looked me up in the phone book and he's been calling me. He's 65, he just retired. And I taught him in about the first. It's really amazing. You just don't know who you touch in life. You really don't.
Right. And the Jewish community has been good to you, and you have been wonderful to the Jewish community.
Well, thank you. I have found
now, beyond what I have asked you, is there something more that you would like to say for posterity?
Well, I'm not leaving any posterity behind. I haven't increased the population any.
This will be posterity.
I get very sentimental about that. And I really don't know what to say. You people have been most kind to me and being tolerant with me, but I never thought of death. I thought we'd all go on perpetually. How anyone could be so silly. But I was just so wrapped up in the world that I had that I thought I could have it as forever. So I don't know. I think of just how to express what I would like to do more. I find that I don't know whether I have the capabilities anymore. This started with the death of my brother and then a fall. And that hasn't helped to my quick survival. So as I say, with my lot being so disturbed this last year, I just don't know what to say about the future. I don't know how much time is left for me because I'm old enough to go beyond now. But I feel all right. But I just don't know. I don't know my own mind anymore. I don't know whether I'm capable of exceeding in doing more things. If the Lord helps me in a quicker recuperation of mind and body, then I'm willing. I'm very willing.
Very good, Lillian. So, on behalf of National Council of Jewish Women and Marvin and I want to thank you for bearing up under this ordeal and for being so patient and so tolerant with what we have done. So, again, thank you very much.
And may I say to you, Bernice, and to you, Marvin, you've been so patient and so tolerant and so endearing to what I've said that I shall never forget this interview. And I am most grateful for you. I don't have enough adjectives to describe how kind and patient you have been with me. And thank you very much.
Thank you.